This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, last week on Cross Hope, we began a new series from the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in the first chapter this week, beginning at verse 15, and it's a message about prayer, where I think I share some things that most people told me they'd never heard before about prayer. I think it's unique, but it comes right from the text, Ephesians 1, 15 through the end of the chapter. You're either a man of prayer or a woman of prayer, or you're not. It's that simple. Let's talk about it this week. Larry Bryant is a songwriter and musician. He wrote a great song about prayer called Shopping List. I want to begin with this lyric. Lord, you've been so good to me, how could I ask for more? But since it says to ask, I will, because what else is prayer for? The cattle on 1,000 hills, they all belong to you. I don't need any cows right now, but there is something else you might do. I want a nice white smile on a perfect face and perfect hair that will stay in place. I want a smaller nose and a single chin and a figure like a perfect 10 and a mom that never yells or screams and hips that fit in designer jeans and a tennis court and a heated pool. I would use them, Lord, as a witnessing tool and a color TV and a VCR and Jesus plates on a brand new car. And then the chorus goes like this. Give me this, I want that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me what I think I need to make it through the day. Make me wealthy, keep me healthy, fill in what I missed on my never-ending shopping list. On my never-ending shopping list. Maybe you've grown up with the idea that prayer is basically your shopping list that you present to the Lord. Here's my list, Lord. Soon as possible with 1 through 3, and maybe you got a week on 4 and 5, and I'll give you a couple of months on 5 and 6 or whatever. And prayer is not a shopping list. Prayer is our communication with the Father through the Son. And it's to know the heart of God. And you know, the way I learned to pray, I was thinking about this recently. How did I learn to pray? By listening to my mom and dad pray. How did I learn to pray as a 3 and 4 and 5 year old in preschool Bible school classes, and I listened to my teacher pray. I can still remember some of those days, believe it or not. How did I learn to pray? By listening to a first, second, and third grade teacher pray, and my brothers and sisters pray. And that's how we learn to pray. So today, in a titled message, Making the Ask, we're going to read a prayer of Paul, the apostle, for the church at Ephesus. And you're going to learn something about prayer. Get this, that you've never known before. I really believe that. Because several people said, I never thought about prayer the way you talked about it today. I never thought about it in my life. It's in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15, as we continue this series I began last week.
Verse 15 says this, For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Well, you can believe this or not, but I got more comments on this message about prayer than any other message I've given on prayer in all my years in the ministry. There was something unique about this passage in Ephesians 1, 15 to the end of the chapter. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. Well, yesterday we began a message on prayer, a message that I honestly believe is the most unusual message I've ever given on the subject of prayer. It's from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 15. We read the text as we closed yesterday. I want to begin by talking about some suggested bullet points for you to write down as you listen to this message from Ephesians 1, making the ask, praying to the Lord God Almighty. I don't know what you prayed for the last time you prayed, but I want to give you 5 bullet statements that we're going to put up on the screen, and everything that flows out of the message will flow out of these phrases that come from this passage. Let's bring them up right now. We're going to talk about faith and love rumors. I love that statement. Faith and love rumors. Nonstop thanks. God-given wisdom and revelation. Enlightened eyes. And incomparable power. Incomparable power. We'll talk about those 5 statements. Let's talk about the first one. Faith and love rumors. Paul uses this phrase, I've heard about your faith and I've heard about your love. I think he really meant it. That's what he heard about the people at Ephesus. What do people hear about you? You ever wondered about that? Have you ever noticed how much conversation that goes on in the average marriage and the average family? Well, I heard this about so-and-so. I hear they're not too happy. I hear things aren't going well with his job. I hear she's not enjoying what she's doing. And we have all this gossip and rumors that we talk about other people. And all I want to share with you today is this. If people are going to gossip about you, I hope they gossip about your faith. Your faith in Christ. And they gossip about your love, that you have love for other people. Hopefully people sometime or another talk about your faith and love. Normandy is the name of the region of France where the D-Day landings happened in June of 44. That's the area, western France, right across the English Channel from England. Just south and west of Normandy is a place called Brittany. In Brittany, that province of France that maybe some of you have been to, I've never been there, but 150 years ago, an author by the name of Robert Buchanan writes about a chapel that existed in Brittany. Get this, it was called the Chapel of Hate. Hard to believe. They didn't call it the First Church of whatever. They called it the Chapel of Hate 150 years ago, and the building existed for decades after people stopped using it. But what people would do, they would go into this Chapel of Hate, and they would get on their knees, and they would pray curses upon people that hurt them. Can you imagine that? They would go into the Chapel of Hate and maybe somebody who tricked them or deceived them or hurt them in some way, I call a curse down on somebody. I don't know who they were praying to. Surely not the Lord, maybe some demonic power. And this Chapel of Hate, I guess, existed for decades as people came in to curse people in their family, to curse people they knew where they worked. And you hear about that from 150 years ago and say, I can't imagine there being a place called the Chapel of Hate. I've never seen anything like it, but may I let you in on a little secret? I know people who have a chapel of hate right here, right inside their chest. It's called their heart. And they pray at the chapel of hate. Oh, I hate him. I hate her. You know, there's nothing more that sends a chill up my spine. And you've been through this because we've said it and we've heard people say it. Nothing chills my heart more than hearing somebody say, I hate him so much.
Well, this is an unusual message on prayer. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. If you need our website, it's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
You know, there's nothing more that sends a chill up my spine. And you've been through this because we've said it and we've heard people say it. Nothing chills my heart more than hearing somebody say, I hate him so much. Oh, I hate her so much. We have a chapel of hate in our own hearts. And all I'm saying is this. Paul heard rumors of the people at Ephesus that they were people of love and people of faith. May there be rumors such as those about you and me. And also note that he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Nonstop thanks. I love that. Thanksgiving is something that should be ongoing in your life and in my life. Question, when's the last time you said, God, thank you for my children? Some of you, it's been a while. God, I thank you for my husband or my wife. For some of you, it's been a while. God, I thank you for my parents. I thank you for my job. I thank you for this house. God, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the automobile or automobiles, plural, that we drive. I'm grateful for what I have. Isn't it amazing? We can go for weeks
in months and maybe even years in some cases and never thank God for anything.
Never thank him for anything or anyone, yet Paul's prayer was nonstop thanks. I've not stopped giving thanks for you, his exact words, remembering you in my prayers. Thirdly, he talks about God-given wisdom and revelation. He prays that they have wisdom and revelation from God. I want to talk about those two words. Wisdom, you can write this down, means to see life from God's point of view. Wisdom is not IQ. It's not intelligence level. It's not how well you did on the SAT or the ACT test. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. I'm convinced that one of the things that parents need to pray for their children, whether they're grown, teenagers, doesn't matter. Lord, give my son or daughter wisdom, the ability to see life from your point of view. And then the word revelation, that's a big word and that's a scary word to some people, but God gives revelation to people and you say, does he give me a stock tip? Does he tell me where to put my investment money? Does God give me a tip on the lottery and say, here are the numbers you should play in Friday's lottery? No. I'll tell you what God gives you revelation about. You may have never thought about this before, but God gives revelation about things that are going on in your life that are hurting other people and offend the Lord. And you've been doing it for years. And all of a sudden, there's that moment, that midnight moment, that Kodak moment, where you realize, I have been hurting people. I have been hurting people by what I've said and by what I've done, and I've also offended the Lord. And you know what? Nobody can tell you sometimes those words except the Lord. He reveals it to your spirit. Thank God when he reveals something to you. He reveals a sin in your life. He reveals your need to forgive somebody that you have refused to forgive for years. And that's an inside job and work of the Holy Spirit where he reveals things to you. Some of you get revelations here on church on Sunday morning. It's nothing mystical or magical. The Lord just reveals through his word. And you say, I didn't know that. I didn't see that in my own life. I see it in my brother or sister. I see it in other people. But today, I see it in me. I see it in me. Pray for wisdom and revelation in the lives of the people you love and pray for it for yourself.
Well, folks, this is a unique message about prayer because the response I received was unique. Responses I'd never heard from people before. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org to listen to this message or any other message you may have missed on Cross Hope. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message from Ephesians 1:15 through the end of the chapter about prayer. Folks, I'm not exaggerating or trying to overplay it, but there are things I said about prayer in this message that I've never said any other message. This is unique stuff to me. It may not be to you, but it's unique to me that I talk about prayer and the area of God revealing things to us in prayer, God giving us wisdom, seeing life from his point of view, and God enlightening our souls with insight that only he can give. That's what we talk about today on Cross Hope as we continue.
Or the fourth one is enlightened eyes. That's a big term. What's it mean? A professional counselor who was here at one of the earlier services says we call that reframing your thinking, enlightened eyes. Well, enlightened thinking comes from the word enlightened in the Greek is photidzo. We get photo from it. And God sheds light on things in our life. Have you ever been in a conversation and you thought one thing and all of a sudden somebody brings up something and here's what you said? Well, that sheds a different light on this situation. I didn't know that about him. I didn't know that's what he was going through. And all of a sudden some light was shown on a topic of discussion and you started looking at things a little differently. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit does that every day. And he will enlighten your eyes. He will help you to see that which you can't see. Maybe it's a need for a change in your life. The Lord opens your eyes and you see things you haven't seen before. Let me tell you a powerful story about that. Maxie Dunham, for years, was the president of Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. He talks about meeting a 20-year-old young man who only had a high school education, came from a culturally deprived background,
had no contact with a church since he was six. So he's 20 years old, had no contact with a church since he was 6 years old. He had been deeply immersed in drugs and the drug culture, and his conversion to the Lord a year ago when he was 19 sounds like a story out of the book of Acts. Maxie Dunham says, I was especially moved as he shared a period of struggle through which he had recently gone and the revelation that had come to him. Here's what happened to this 19-year-old young man. He told Maxie Dunham, the day came when he was looking at what he was doing and he said, I didn't feel guilty about it because of what it was doing to me. He said, I didn't feel bad about it because what I was even doing to other people. He said, the realization came to me, 19 years old, no contact with the church since he's six. He said, the realization came to me that what I was doing was offending the Lord God Almighty. What do you call that? Enlightened eyes. What do you call that? Revelation from God. What do you call that? Wisdom, seeing life from God's point of view. All of the above, that's what he saw in his own life. And you know what? I pray that that kind of thing happens every week. Sunday morning in first service, in second service, third service, that there's a man or woman, one person in each service, if that's all, but whose eyes have been opened, their eyes have been enlightened, there's something's been revealed to their spirit that no husband or wife could reveal to them. No parent could reveal to them. No friend or coworker could reveal to them. But the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you about your life, that what we're doing hurts other people and it offends the Lord.
Well, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Is there anything going on in your life right now in terms of what you say and what you do and what you think that not only offends other people, you know in your heart that it offends the Lord? Let the Lord speak to you right now through His Word and through His Spirit. Our website is crosshope.org. God bless.
I want to close with a powerful story told by Vincent Donovan, who's a Catholic author who wrote a book called Christianity Rediscovered. This was published by Mary Knoll Press. He said in a part of Africa where the nomadic people known as the Maasai tribe was during the time of slavery, he said the slave traders would come and round up these particular tribe of the Maasai and take them from all over the country in that part of Africa and then take them to a port where they would get on ships and leave for Europe and the United States. And the slaves had a name. The people had a name for that place where your final stop. You know what they called it? It was an African word. I want to make sure I pronounce this correctly. Bagamoyo. They called the final stop before they left on the ships Bagamoyo, which comes from two African words, which means to throw or put down, and the word moyo, which means heart. That city where you stopped before you got on the ship to become a slave was the place where you threw down your heart. What a statement. Can you imagine how depressing that was to say, that's the place where you, figuratively speaking, you throw down your heart, you're never going to see it again because of what's ahead of you. I thought about his story, Vincent Donovan's story, and I thought, you know, and I've met some people who've thrown down their hearts in grief. I've met some people who've thrown down their hearts in job disappointment and job failure. And I've known some people who've thrown down their hearts in a failing marriage or in a divorce situation. I've known people who've thrown down their hearts with a sick relative or sickness in their own life. It's not that far-fetched to say that some of you are at a place right now where you say, I'm throwing down my heart. And all I want to tell you is this. You don't have to throw down your heart. You bend your knees to the one who is the ruler of the entire universe. You don't throw down your heart. You throw up your hands and say, God, be with me. And you praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with lifted up hearts and hands. You don't throw down your heart. You lift up your heart to the God who made you. And that God will work in your life in ways that will never happen in any other way. What will He do? He'll reveal things to you. He'll enlighten your eyes so you do see. I have been hurting people and I have been offending God. That's an inside work of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned earlier. But more than that, I can give thanks for the people in my life. I can have rumors of faith and love going on in my own life so that people talk about me. They not only talk about the bad stuff, but they say, but I think he's a person of faith. And I think she's a person of love. And I know that about them. That's what I've heard about those people. And I talk about his incomparable power over everything. You know, Jesus is not a good luck charm. He's Lord. He's not just something to believe in a world where there's not a lot to believe in. He's Lord of everything, Lord of heaven and earth. Do you understand what that means? Nothing isn't under his authority, his power, and his capacity. He's over it all. That's the one we call people to. We're not calling people to a cause, to a church, to a religion. We're calling people to believe and trust and obey the one who is the source of all authority and all power. His name is Jesus. Let's pray to him right now.
Well, folks, I know it's risky business for a minister to make editorial comments about his own preaching or his own sermons, but I'm going to do it this week. There was more response to this message on prayer than any other message I've ever given. There's a reason for that. Paul said some strong things in Ephesians 1. If you need to hear this message again, go to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.